Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. I've got some breaking news from CNBC that Nordstrom's and Gap are taking a huge hit on their share price. And as you can imagine, this is a direct result of the government distortions that we've seen in 2020 and 2021. So this is a little bit of a news video and also kind of an economics lesson all wrapped into one. Let's dive into the first story. That's CNBC, and we will get into the Gap and Nordstrom's in just a moment, but this kind of paints a better picture of what's happening, and not just with retail, but also with, in this case, real estate, and regardless of whether it's real estate or retail, the same economic principles apply, and that's why I'm going over this first. So after hard times for renters, cities and states passed dozens of new protections. Over the last 2 years, states and cities have passed dozens of renter-friendly laws. Now, initially, this may look like it's something that's great. Well, we got to do something, right? The rents are going up. People can't afford housing. We've got inflation. So we've got to do something. That's what you always hear politicians, and that's what you always hear the general public demand. The people who, unfortunately, haven't really studied economics or studied history, for that matter, they always demand that the central planners do something. And what is it that they can do? Well, Joe Biden or XYZ central planner, they cannot print or they cannot create, they can't force by dictate new housing to come into fruition. So what is their only lever that they can pull? That would be price controls or rent control, said another way. And ask any economist out there, even Paul Krugman, and ask him, what do you think of price controls, even rent controls? And they'll say, bad idea. Very bad idea, because what you're going to end up with is a poorer selection or a poorer quality of rental properties available, and you will reduce the supply. You will have a shortage of XYZ, not just property, not just anything that you put price controls on, you will have a shortage of, regardless of whether that is housing or whether it's gas or energy or retail products. And the same goes for including... Well, the next key point here is those include protections from rent increases, price controls, and new rights to legal representation. And again, at surface level, you say, well, this is a good thing. And it may or may not be. But what we're here to understand is in economics, there is a principle or a law, I should say. And this law is taught to us by Dr. Thomas Sowell. There are no solutions. There are only trade-offs. So the proper way to analyze this is not to say, well, is giving tenants new rights to legal representation good or bad? That's not the question that we should try to answer. The question we should try to answer is, by giving new rights to legal representation to tenants, what are the trade-offs? What is the cost, or what are the costs, and what are the benefits? So the Cervasa sickness, well, again, let's correct them. The government's response to the Cervasa sickness brought unprecedented hardship to renters at the point of leaving as many as 40 million people at risk of losing their homes. And again, I struggle with this, because if you look at a chart of, in fact, I might have that right here. I do. So let's go to a chart. And this is the aggregate total of the dollars that are in checking accounts of American households. At the beginning of 2020, about $1.2 trillion. Now, $3.6 trillion. It's gone up by $2.4 trillion. So the argument that the government's response to the Cervasa sickness left an unprecedented hardship on renters, I'm not buying that. Now, Granted, there could be a few people out there or a significant percentage, maybe 10, 15%, 20% that had hardships due to the government forcing the businesses they work for to shut down and go bust. But I think if you look at the average, renters are far better today as far as their balance sheet than they were prior to 2020. And let's not forget that the government told them that they didn't have to pay rent if you didn't want to. You had the eviction moratorium. So what's the incentive to pay rent while at the same time the government is increasing the dollars on the balance sheet of American households to the tune of $2.4 trillion? This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. So they say this situation got so bad so quickly, tenants revealed long-lasting issues of housing instability. Yeah, this is just straight propaganda. They're not giving any numbers. They're not giving any statistics. It's all just opinion this, opinion that, and it's stated as though it's fact. Facing this mountain of debt and a likely tsunami of evictions, tens of thousands of renters have responded by fighting back, organizing their building, and uniting with tenants across cities across the country. And so, again, I don't know how bad of a shape they're in, but what I can say and is not, and I don't even want to say that this is bad. I don't want to even take that leap. What I want to say is we need to do a proper, or these people, they're smart, they do a proper cost-benefit analysis. They'd understand that there were trade-offs, that even if they get what they want by quote-unquote fighting back, there is going to be a cost to that benefit. So then the question becomes, what is the cost? And we know by studying economic history that the cost of price controls, or a decreased price that's been mandated by the government, is poor quality and a lack of supply shortages. On that note, let's go over to these headlines. 46 minutes ago, Gap shares crater after retailer sees millions in lost sales. Why? From delayed product shipments. In other words, a shortage of stuff. So what happens when you get price controls? Or maybe better said, more broadly, what happens when the government comes in and distorts the economy like they have been in 2020 and 21? Well, you're going to see shortages in housing, or even greater shortages in housing than we've already seen. And in addition to that, of course, because the same economic principles hold true, we're seeing shortages in retailers on the stuff that they have on the shelves. If they have less stuff on the shelves, then they're going to sell less, and therefore their profits are going to be lower. And that's going to make them cut their forecast for the future. Nordstrom's, same thing. Earnings missed, hurt by what? Higher labor costs. So we go back to the chart that I was showing you from the Federal Reserve, the Fred chart, that shows the dollars and the checking accounts of households in the United States going from $1.2 trillion to $3.6 trillion. And you sit there and have to scratch your head and say, well, why on earth would anyone go back to work? You would be right, especially when we see the stock market at all-time highs. we see the 10-year yield relatively stable. We see the dollar relatively stable on the DXY, actually going up. And we see cryptocurrency going up to a $3 trillion market cap. So that means a lot of, and then housing prices going through the roof, increasing the equity that's on the balance sheet of a lot of Americans. This all equals more and more purchasing power. In other words, or it also means a reduction of the incentive to actually go back to work, which creates what? A shortage in labor. So now we're starting to see all of these economic distortions created by the government's response to the Cerveza sickness starting to play out, not just with the small and mid-sized businesses that they destroyed and put out of business through the lockdowns, but now we're seeing it in huge retailers like Gap and Nordstrom's, and we are going to continue to see this play out in the housing market throughout the United States if they continue to implement price controls, which they like to neatly call rent controls. Because although you may think that's a good idea, it's a trade-off. There is a benefit, but there is also a cost. So the question is the benefit worth the cost? And historically speaking, if you study economics, you will realize that the cost always exceeds the perceived benefit. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your evening. Always stand up for freedom, liberty.